Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Naturally, we'll be very intrigued by the fiscal policies and economic policies there to make sure that essentially we are able to reignite economic growth in South Africa. Someone else who can help us unpack this in a moment or two and a little further is James Terp, Fixed Income Portfolio Manager and Head of Investment Strategy at Sanlam Investments, as we look to get some perspective and more analysis on the repo rate decision today. James, such a delight to speak to you, sir.
Good evening, Guguletu. Great to speak to you too. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to this conversation because I guess we're not surprised by the decision that was taken by the MPC today, but we are surprised by, I guess, the shift in the stance and views and sentiment that was shared regarding a few members who actually called for a cut. How are you reading this?
Going into it, I did think that there was a chance we'd get a vote or two for a cut. I mean, the picture has been developing. Inflation has been playing ball both globally as well, with US inflation moving lower. So it was supportive of perhaps, you know, also that the MPC, they do like to signal ahead of the time. They prefer, and global standard of central banking is to be transparent, to kind of signal your intention. The less volatility around an interest rate meeting, the better, is seen to be the sort of the route taken. So it didn't really come as a surprise. Going into it, we were discussing the sort of market pricing was for around a probability of around a third chance that they might cut rates even. So not expected them to cut, but the door was open for one or two members.
Yeah.
Of this enlarged MPC to vote for a cut. So it's only when you see it, though, isn't it, Guguletu, when you see those two votes for a cut that you start thinking, wow, we were one vote away from a split decision, right? Here. And as a result, you know, the action was dovish, but the talk was like a hawk, to use a rhyme there. Because if you go through the statement, he certainly was saying things that sounded hawkish, like the battle against inflation has not been won yet, and they were saying restrictive rates are appropriate, though some were of the view we could cut rates may stay higher than expected for longer. So 100%. The talk certainly was on the hawkish side, but if you look at the actions, again, not just those two votes, but they marked down inflation and that it's going to be below, and they underlined the target being the midpoint of the current range of 3 to 6%. It'll be below that by the fourth quarter of this year. So that marking down this year's inflation from 5.1 to 4.9 and next year's from 4.5 to below the target mid of 4.4, that's a dovish action.
Gotcha.
So in all but words, they're showing the market that cuts are on the horizon, I think. And this is expected.
Yep.
It's no surprise. It's all down to the timing, though, isn't it? And, you know, I know publicly we can't wait for interest rate cuts, right? So we're moving in the right direction. And I think it seems that September will be the time for a cut, I would say.
Yep.
And fortunately for the voting members, whether we agree with it or not, the Fed goes the night before. So on the 18th of September, it's the FOMC. And the next day on the 19th, it's the Saab MPC. So any strange result out of the Fed can at least be factored in, because they do make mention of that, and he did say, you know, restrictive rates in the US have remained,
you know,
so they're very aware of what the US economy is doing. And there's some whispers in the market of the US even moving by 50 in September. Don't know if that's the case. It's not priced into the market, but anything's possible. And so it gives them the freedom to at least assess what the US Fed does the night before.
It's going to be such an intriguing time as we head to the next few weeks, because as you say, it will be influential in terms of how the dynamics are read and moved upon by central banks. What is intriguing to me, though, is inflation. And I ask this because the IMF just recently put out a note saying essentially globally inflation will be hotter for longer and we need to expect it to be quite sticky. And with that said, I'm keen to understand your thoughts and views as to how our local SARB has been managing its approach to inflation. And unlike many of our other emerging market peers who actually cut interest rates a lot sooner, at least we appear to be riding the wave quite gently from what we see, especially if you look at the analysis in retrospect. How should we be interpreting this? Yeah.
So you raise a good point. And I think, you know, the SARB does a great job in both communicating with the market, which helps inflation expectations, which are key to behavior, ultimately economic behavior, if you get expectations right. And they haven't overreacted. So they didn't hike aggressively like some other emerging markets did. And so they haven't started cutting because our rates haven't been relatively high. So they've worked in a measured fashion. They've signaled what they're doing. They would prefer inflation to be even lower. They did highlight the fact that relative to our peers in the G20, we're the second highest, I think. Mm. And of course, this has been a crusade almost of the governor to talk about getting inflation down because it affects the lowest income people the worst. And that is a big incentive for him to get inflation down. And I think overall, both our Sunlum economists and the Reserve Bank are forecasting it to get to the middle of the target range next year. So if they've got 4.4 average, I think we're pretty much the same now. So, and I think the market ultimately is in line as well. So that means the job is done with the current target to get it there. So I think, great job, great signaling. They've even moved the path of interest rates themselves in their model slightly lower this time round. So, the market's looking at this point, for what it's worth, they're looking for 100 basis points of cuts in this cycle from here, getting us down to 7.25% on the repo rate. And it's interesting because if inflation's coming down and rates are getting cut, then we look at what he referred to as the neutral real rate, and that's the rate above inflation. And he speaks of 2.5%.
Yes.
So if we think about that, and then we've got this mid target of 4.5, well, then that gets us to 7%, right? And that would give us 125 basis points of cuts. So market kind of almost there in its discounting, kind of tells you what we could expect if all goes well. And of course, there's a lot of moving parts, aren't there, Gugu Letu? The currency being the most unpredictable player in this movie, if you like.
100%, it's been really range-bound, right, James?
Oh, man, for a change. I mean, there's not often that you use the word stable and rand in the same sentence.
That's true.
So, and strong even, if we think pre-election where we were, and now we've got that. And I suspect even if we get, State of the Nation discussion a bit later from the president, that often is well received. I mean, it's a great opportunity to highlight some of the new initiatives that the government of national unity is going to take. So the currency could, all going well, could even be stable and stronger overnight if that message is well received.
Positive. Because right now the rand is at 18.18 to the US dollar, so we will be watching that very closely. And in about 20 minutes, we will see the president take to the podium in Parliament to officially welcome us in what will be the new legislative cycle of a GNU. And what would be so intriguing for us to touch on as well, James, is I guess the bond market reaction to a government of national unity. It's a first for South Africa, first for the market digesting this kind of political news for South Africa. And I'm intrigued to understand how it is that our treasuries have been performing versus other emerging markets and even developed economies, and how much of an influence our local politics have played in that regard.
bonds have really performed well, Ugeletu, as a result. Now, in sort of discussions and presentations we've been doing here at Sanlam, we've been saying going into the election, what do we as South Africans think the best outcome would be for financial markets, let's put it that way. So what would financial markets assess to be the best outcome? And going into it, we were thinking, you know, sort of a strong ANC above sort of 45 to 50% would be stable and a good result. Ultimately, maybe, you know, coalition politics, but not an extreme difficult coalition. And as it happens, if you think about it, it's almost a masterstroke the way it turned out and the way within 30 days, political parties came together and have agreed. And so, you know, I think that's beyond most expectations going into it, how the story has developed so far. And that has been reflected in the bond market, with our bonds really outperforming, dislocating from international bond movements. And it's quite interesting, you know, if you look at a chart of bond markets globally, they actually trade in similar fashion. They all seem to follow developed market bonds mostly. Yeah. So you often, it's not often discussed, but we've got very strong supporting evidence that a lot of the selling of South African bonds corresponds with selling of international bonds. So a lot of the time it's just the sort of correlation trade that we're seeing. But what we've seen since the election is this dislocation where South African bonds have actually outperformed the pack, outperformed other emerging markets. And that combined with a firm, appreciating and stable rand, you won't hear that often in the past, that for foreign investors is great because you've got the currency giving you some appreciation of your investment. And then you've got bonds actually appreciating. They've done really well. And from here, the messaging at the moment and the potential for further gains is good. It's not going to move as quickly as it has, of course, but if, you know, if the actions coming out of government are as positive as they've been, and there's every indication that this is the most significant political change in South Africa since 1994.
And so, you know, it
could follow through, and we're hoping that that will be the case.
James, on my end, what I find so intriguing is, I guess just over, what, 5, maybe 7 years ago, we were bemoaning the fact that South Africa was being downgraded. We found ourselves falling out of the WGBI, the World Government Bond Index for emerging markets. And yet, I guess, naturally, we have come through a number of challenges, including the pandemic, viewing the different stances on interest rates and inflation that central banks have taken, and that having a direct correlation into our bond market, low shedding, our logistical challenges. All of these threats have continued to mar our investment sentiment in South Africa. However, as you've stated, our bond market still seems to be doing well. Seems like a juxtaposition for me here and an oxymoron, as you say, you know, strength in the rand and, you know, resilient performance in our bond market and increased buying from foreigners. What is actually driving this positive sentiment of on our bond market, despite the challenges we face economically?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So simply speaking, it's the potential is what's being represented in investors' activity buying bonds. It's the potential for improved economic growth. And that's also, we've seen evidence in the reduction of load shedding. We've gone for many days without official broad load shedding. And that has shown up in some of the figures. Now you've got this sort of political cohesion happening across parties and, you know, all the right noises coming out. So we've seen a resumption of foreign buying in the market. One disappointing thing, you mentioned credit rating downgrades. So in non-investment grade, as you know, we were removed from this World Government Bond Index. This is the disappointing. This is when it sort of the message hits home. A wall of cash can't return because we're non-investment grade. We don't appeal to the same volume of foreign investing funds as we did. So it takes the hard work before we can attract the sort of investment that really assists us.
That's
and
true.
So to do that, you've got to implement. You've got to talk the talk, and now you've got to walk it, right? And you've got to implement those changes. It's got to show up in the numbers. We borrow a lot. We've got to start growing to the extent that we can pay back our debt. We can reduce the amount of debt that we ramped up post-COVID, which contributed to the weakness in the bond market as well. And all of those things at some point actually have to start showing up. And as soon as that evidence comes through, and we've seen GDP marked up for next year as well. So, you know, if we start getting, and it's this potential, if we now fulfill our potential, then we can really get going as well. So definitely, we've had this repricing on bonds, but also at a point now it'll stop, and we need to see evidence of improved economic activity.
Definitely. Implementing those policy reforms, and of course our efforts to get off the grey listing from FATF, which is also a means to an end to make sure that we do catapult growth in South Africa's economy and prioritise that investment that can come through. James, that's, I could speak to you all day, helping me a better understanding of the fixed income space, and of course where we are with the currency and the reaction and, I guess, perspective on the MPC. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure as always, Guguletu. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's James Terp, Fixed Income Portfolio Manager and Head of Investment Strategy at Sanlam Investments. As you've heard, critical conversations we're having. It might sound technical, it might sound heavy, but get this. All of this ultimately does play a role in our lives as South Africans. It's how the government is able to attract capital, capital that we use and allocate in our national budget, treasury budget, of course, using some of it for reserves, allocating some of that capital to various ministries, using it for investment in bulk infrastructure to make sure that the highways and byways and water projects that we work on are efficient and they're operating in South Africa. Also talking about interest rates, which we know they directly impact us when it comes to our pockets. Whether you're a saver or a spender and someone who might be indebted, either way, you're actually being hit. For the moment, though, we do see the savers certainly benefiting from where we are with interest rates at the moment. Likely that we'll see a cut maybe come November, but there's a lot that will be happening locally and abroad that will influence some of these thoughts. Something else that will be influencing how the market does perform, and of course the fixed income space, currency performance, is our politics. We've made it past the elections. We've made it to the appointment of a government of national unity. Cabinet has been instated, and now we are witnessing the opening of parliament. I can tell you, looking at our TV screens, that the president has arrived. Looks like a chilly day out there in Cape Town. He's warmly put up in his suit. We do see that he's just laid his arm on his chest in order to make sure that we... take a look at the address that will be taking place shortly. He looks a bit drained and tired, I must say, judging by his expression on his face. But let's see. Hopefully by 7 o'clock, he'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to give us some feedback in the...
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.